You're listening to DraftKings Network.
On April 26th, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. Only in theaters April 26th. Rated R.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batour Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
We're going to get to a new game that Billy wants to play. I don't know what it is exactly.
Ooh.
It's called, you're very excited. Do you want to tell
the
people?
Yeah, we need a sound effect, though. I didn't talk this through enough. We need a dropping sound effect.
Okay, that would have been good to know before we started, but okay.
Are we going?
Mike will work in real time to find you whatever sound it is you need to play the game name drop. We'll all find out what it is together. But before we do that, I want to ask Stugatz what he knows at all about the Lloyd Pierce situation, the talking point in sports today. Do you know anything about the Lloyd Pierce situation?
I don't know who Lloyd Pierce is.
All right, Stugatz, I'm going to need you to age 1% less worse because you don't care about anything happening in sports, and you haven't for a long time, but I need you to pay attention to some of the things happening every day and not be maximum lazy on every subject. Mama, I need your help here in terms of knowing something about what's going on in sports.
We're still inside a month from the funeral, but I'll get there eventually. Okay, and shame on you for turning my dead mother into content. I mean,
Too soon.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, Stugatz. I apologize. You're right. I am wrong. I have fallen on the wrong side of cruelty again. You win, I lose. So the story with Lloyd Pierce is the following.
Why am I laughing?
The story with Lloyd Pierce is he's the Atlanta Hawks or was the Atlanta Hawks coach. This is interesting and layered. You know, I generally don't care about news of the day, Stugatz, as it results in coach firings, because I feel, as you've seen with Steve Kerr and Stan Van Gundy and Bill Belichick and a whole bunch of other people, you can be really smarter than everyone else and build a good organization. And it helps when Kevin Durant comes and joins you and you get lucky with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. And you're light years ahead of everybody, and then they get hurt, and then you're not, and you're drowning, and you don't have any money anymore, and you financed the stadium, and Kevin Durant is in Brooklyn. So these things are complicated, but the macro on this is super interesting. At a time, Stugatz, where you see not just America sociologically, everything happening in terms of race relations in this country that goes through Georgia, okay? That goes through Atlanta in a way that you can make decent arguments for everything that Stacey Abrams did there being sort of pivotal to changing the leadership of this country, specifically through the black city of Atlanta that is torn apart along racial lines, okay? Where the owner of the Atlanta Dream was on the other side of this as Georgia swung blue, Stugatz. So the reason that I find this one in Atlanta interesting, specifically as you see some of what is happening with the politics, Stugatz, in Georgia, where the fight is between, you know, still masks and science and voter suppression. It's all happening in sort of the civil rights South, where you still get an argument about the Confederate flag and statues being tipped over. Within sports, what you have happening is the following. This is why I find this situation interesting, as the Atlanta Hawks have clearly underachieved. But specifically with what everything you see happening in sports, where black people are still telling you in sports, hey, Rooney Rule or not, Bienemy still doesn't get the shots. Look at how this happens. And then you see what happens with the Mariners, Stugatz, where it's all out in the open. And hey, look, the white guy's treating all the minorities as disposable commodities and just says so. Okay, you're fired now, but the system's still in place. And you did that to a Japanese customer base. You did that. You dehumanized when your best players are Latin and Dominican, and you're using their bodies as the white hedge fund guy at the top who's the money. And you've been bilking that organization through a grift for 20 years of bad baseball, just using these bodies, throwing them in the furnace. So, with that as your context, the Atlanta Hawks have underachieved this year. And their coach, the black guy, has been fired. The black guy, the interim coach, is now Nate McMillan. Another black guy, this again, they play in Atlanta. That's the customer base that just swung blue. That's a black city with a black fan base. And look at who the Atlanta Dream's owner was. And look at that now. A woman who sat out for social reform for a year, Renee Montgomery, as a player, a young player, has bought into part ownership of that team, because that team, the women in that sport were stronger than even the men when it came to the activism, and they ran off the owner of the Atlanta Dream for being awful with black bodies. That's your context. And here's why it's interesting. Lloyd Pierce did underachieve this year. He is being blamed for the additions of Bogdanovich, Gallinari, Dunn, and Rondo, four guys that created expectations. They've missed a combined 103 games. So injury takes out the coach on a season of expectations. But what it ignores is this. He's the fall guy for Travis Schlenk, who looks exactly the way that you imagine if you Google search it, Travis Schlenk would look. And he traded the rights to Luka Doncic. He traded the rights for Trae Young and a future first-round pick who became Cam Reddish. So now what you have in the black city of Atlanta, you've got Nate McMillan saying, I need the endorsement of Lloyd Pierce if I'm going to take this job, because I just saw the white guy take out the black guy and I can't lose my team here right before I start. If I don't have the endorsement of the guy you're ousting, because it makes me look like a company man, because it makes me look like I'm willing to do the work of Travis Schlenk when I fight with you. I'm a veteran coach in this league who sees everything that's happening in America. I need your blessing, fired Lloyd Pierce, because I just saw what happened to you. These are injuries and expectations that took you out, and a general manager who traded Luka Doncic.
Who still has his job. The general manager.
That's why I think it's interesting, though. That's how you see, though. That's how you see the power dynamics in that sport. Where this began with Danny Ferry. Danny Ferry was on the executive track to white power and botched it all because Danny Ferry, Stugatz, like the example of a pillar of white professionalism in that sport that always gets to the power and was going to get to the power the way that power rises there in a way that it does for Danny Ferry and doesn't for Lloyd Pierce. Like, that's the thing right there at the center of Atlanta symbolically is the thing that people are looking at when it comes to power transfers in this country and what it's like to always have the privilege of being in the top power and how hard it is for someone like Lloyd Bridges to reach the place.
Lloyd Pierce.
Yes. Lloyd Bridges is even better.
Wow. Bridges.
I mean, are you kidding?
With a tissue paper between his ears.
Lloyd Bridges.
Lloyd Bridges, father of, hold on a second. How old is Lloyd Bridges?
Lloyd Bridges cannot still be with
us.
Been
no, he's dead.
Lloyd Bridges left us in 1998.
Yeah. Hold on, we're in the Cody wheelhouse now. Cody, give me the Cody howling on his toilet. Cody, give me all your Lloyd Bridges information.
Lloyd Bridges, he's older than I am. He's been dead for 30 years, I think. I remember him watching him on TV in black and white.
Why does he sound like he's shouting from another part of the bathroom?
He's on speakerphone. I think he actually might be taking a shit right now. It looks like it.
My pants are on.
Okay.
He sounds so far away. Greg!
Hold the phone up to your ear, please.
Greg.
Sorry, I had it on speakerphone. Is that wrong of me? Technologically? I don't know the difference.
Is your back starting to hurt yet from sitting on that toilet for an hour?
No, I feel great, man. I'm in love with her, and I feel fine. Beatles, 1964.
Greg, please go back again to the other room, please. You can leave the toilet.
A lot of exercise for Greg.
I know, but I just need his
weird
full
lash
attention.
Out. It's a weird punishment for Dan confusing the head coach of the Hawks with the star of Hot Shots Part 2.
Greg, I mean.
Thank you.
Lloyd Bridges is the father or the grandfather of Jeff Bridges? Is he the father? Lloyd Bridges has been what's making movies? Is Lloyd Bridges
important? Dan, he
was born in 1913.
Yes, totally was he Bridges' dad?
Was he the? Let's get to name drop. Did you find the? Did you find the imaging that Billy needs to get the game name drop off the ground? Let's go ahead and start this. We are doing this on the fly, impromptu. He needs some canned music that we have the copyrights to.
How happy are you right now, Stu Gatz, that we got away from this discussion?
Thrilled.
It's a tricky one because he was replaced by McMillan. What do I do?
Endorsements.
Name drop.
Go ahead. What do we got?
All right, so this is how it works, guys. This is because I was inspired, Dan, by your story yesterday and the woolly mammoth and the dinosaur and all that stuff and the name drop that you threw out there. So I figured a fun game that we could all play, we go around the room and we tell a name drop, but we have to outdrop each other, all right? So I'll get the ball rolling. One time I played in a media softball game with Adam Cooperstein.
Wow, Coop.
Okay. So Billy
name
is
drop.
Nice drop.
All right. So Billy is starting the bidding. Roy, would you like to? Do you have any desire to play name drop?
Not really, but I'll give one. I was almost ran over by Shaquille O'Neal in a beach cruiser. Name drop.
Wow.
Chris,
name drop.
Chris Cody, thank you. You can keep doing that. Chris Cody, what do you have for us in the way of a name drop?
Guys, remember that time I drove Bill Simmons from his hotel to the studio?
Name drop.
Okay, excellent.
You're supposed
work.
To outdo the person in front
okay.
of you.
Okay, we're limping
I think
in.
Coop is winning still.
We're limping in here. Whittingham, do you have a decent name drop?
Yeah, well, Mike and I went to England once, and we went to a Fulham match, and I watched a Fulham match with Sam Smith. Name drop?
Yeah, everyone finds your name drop pathetic.
I thought it was Mike at first as the name drop. It's Sam Smith.
Sports.
You don't know who Sam Smith is?
The singer?
Common name.
The singer?
The singer Sam Smith?
Yeah, the singer.
Wow, that's impressive.
Won't you?
Yeah, please don't do that again.
Yeah, I'm interested that you went with Sam Smith over Hugh Grant. Hugh Grant was also there.
Hugh Grant was there?
Name drop. Name drop.
Cody, what do you have?
At a legal retreat once, I met the daughter of the only NFL kicker to ever win the MVP award, Mark Moseley. Name drop. I forget her name.
Hold on, Dad. Tell them about that golf starter that we run into every once in a while.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, that's another one. We play at a course where the starter is the son of the late, great baseball manager Earl Weaver.
Wow.
How about that?
All of them very weak. They don't deserve
drop.
They're not bombs. They're like tiny firecrackers.
Dream Weaver.
What do you have, Stu Gatz? What would you identify as your name drop?
There's really no other way to say this. I had to leave the show early. I had dinner with Dan Marino. Name drop. Dan the man.
So Dan, you should have seen me and Dan Patrick just cutting it up at Dan's wedding.
DP. Don't use them all here, Chris. I have to do this again tomorrow. Name drop.
I love this game. It's great.
It's awesome. I love the fact that you guys clearly rehearse this and are great at really delivering the showbiz aspects of name drop here, that you've got all your timing, synchronicity, and chronology right here, choreography. So what is it? Choreography.
You actually started this game yesterday.
I know. That's what he's saying, that I did it Sal. But I feel like I just won. I won with Sal yesterday. I still got the winning hand.
No.
Who beats me?
No. They don't cross over from day to day, Dan. You need a new name drop today.
Yep. Right now, I'm winning. I got Marino.
Those are the rules. Everybody knows it.
All right. So does Stu Gatz win if I limp in with played roulette in Monaco with Paris Hilton?
Pretty good.
because I was going to go, I feel
name
like,
drop.
Name drop.
Climb the Great Wall with Michael Jordan, but I feel like you guys are tired of that.
Don't use them all.
Right.
I got a lot.
You saved the Jordan one for a special day.
How have you never told the roulette anecdote on the air?
Because I didn't think it was that interesting. I don't find Paris Hilton that interesting. I'm just trying to win. I'm just trying to beat Cooperstein. Like, I'm limping in with something.
All right, round two of name drop. Bring out the big guns, guys. Yes. If you
I was almost ran over by Shaquille O'Neal. Well,
all right, guys.
You know what, Roy? I do think you won that one. I've got to beat. I was almost ran over by Shaquille O'Neal.
He wasn't in a car. It was just Shaq.
That's enough name drop for today. Roy wins today.
Hey, it's Mike, and I know you were hoping for an update on those fishtail ponds in my backyard. Well, have I got news for you. I actually got lighting installed, and I can change it with an app. Beautiful fishtail ponds lit up red, depending on my mood. If my hockey team wins, we light those suckers red. Anyways, I like being outside. I like looking at those fishtail ponds. You love hearing about it. But what's in my hand other than my app changing the lighting? A Miller Lite is in my hand. That's right, because I know when a Miller Lite is in my hand, I make a good time, Miller time. I take that first sip, I know immediately I made the right call. Nothing goes with my fishtail ponds quite like a Miller Lite. It makes everything so much better. And I'm going to have some people over. I'm going to toss them that beautiful white can. They're going to say, heck yeah. And they're going to have that first sip and know, just like me, that they made the right call. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
Lloyd Bridges.
Go ahead. Have at it. Like, if you've got
I do have something on there. I saw it
become, on Lloyd Bridges?
Well, on the Lloyd Pierce. I saw it become a thing. And he hasn't been good as a head coach,
go
right?
Ahead. Let's go.
He's been 63-120 as a head coach. He got fired.
I mean, part of the problem, I don't know what happened with the relationship there with John Collins and the Hawks and maybe Lloyd Pierce, but part of this, too, might be because of the pandemic. I was talking to John Collins on my podcast, Chelsea Mic'd Up. You can listen to Goran Dragic on this week's episode, by the way. That was the longest period of time that John Collins had gone without playing basketball.
You did that very nicely. Hold on. Tell people about that again in case they want to find yet another podcast from our sprawling podcast people. Go ahead and tell them again why Goran Dragic was on your podcast.
Goran Dragic is on this week's podcast because it's an NBA All-Star theme. And as you know, the Dragon, which is a former NBA All-Star, we try to pin him down and find out which team he supports. And I try to convince him to support Chelsea. It's fun. We like to have fun on that show. And the co-star is Chris Whittingham, the Neutral Observer. But John Collins hadn't played basketball for a very long time. These teams, remember there was talk about having a secondary bubble for teams that hadn't made the playoffs? Those are generally young teams. And those players miss a big key part in their development. So I think that's part of what's going on there. And I understand you can absolutely call into question what that general manager has done, even though they won the offseason and the signings that they made were not exactly met with all sorts of criticism. Everyone pegged Atlanta to be better. And now the same people that were saying, hey, those were good signings are saying, well, this is super unfair to Lloyd Pierce, but I don't understand. Like, they need to make a change there.
Oh, I want to be clear to the audience, and I don't think I was, because I'm not sitting here arguing, and I don't mean to argue at all, that Lloyd Pierce was wronged, okay? Because I think what this discussion is going to be about is when it is, and people will argue about this too, the kind of wide berth white leaders get versus black leaders, and we can have that conversation. And there's a bunch of places here where you could say, hey, this isn't the white-black thing happening. This is a team with expectations. Be better. It's not about injuries or pandemic. Be better. Like, you can make the arguments on behalf of this firing. What I'm saying to you, and the only thing, I'm not making any accusations here. I'm simply making the argument on how Nate McMillan and Atlanta Hawks fans and black players and black customers might look at this and be like, hey, we're keeping an eye on this because the power in our company is still white and the people getting fired are still between the power in our company and our black customer base that just changed America with its voting process. All I'm telling you is keep an eye on it as a symbol in sports in Atlanta because it's worth watching when Nate McMillan has to ask permission of the guy I was calling Lloyd Bridges.
But is the feeling that the GM should also, if you're going to fire the coach, fire the GM? Is that kind of...
Do that, but I don't know how that helps a team get better right now. It's an expanded playoff, so they're still certainly within that game right now of getting into the playoffs. Trae Young was a borderline all-star. As much as they whiffed on Luka Doncic, it could do a hell of a lot worse than Trae Young. They have pieces. Firing the GM isn't going to make that team immediately better. Lloyd Pierce, understandably, difficult during a pandemic, difficult circumstances, team that went a long time without playing and now missing a bunch of its players. I don't know what happened with the John Collins thing. He seems pretty talented. Who knows? You thought that you had a really nice young core over there. They added pieces. It hadn't worked out. He hasn't been good over there. It's really hard to make an argument for Lloyd Pierce. You can stomp your feet and say, well, it's been unfair because of all these mitigating circumstances. The GM could easily point and say, I gave you tools.
Didn't he make his mark in the NBA as a talent evaluator, as a player development guy? And so he hasn't developed players. I mean,
but
he's
again 104 games missed or whatever it was to injury. Look, I'm more interested in understanding without feeling like accusations or without even arguing. I'm not interested whether someone deserved or didn't deserve to be fired. That's not the part of this discussion that I'm interested in. What I'm interested in is when I see, oh, wait, look, Alvin Gentry. This is how power changes. Alvin Gentry is someone that they were thinking about there for a while. And then where my mind goes is I remember when Alvin Gentry got his first job and it was a big deal here with the Miami Heat. And I remember writing a column about the specifics. Will Alvin Gentry be able to reach the black player more than the white coach? Like this is a long time ago. And Alvin Gentry from that point as a bit of a pioneer, Stugatz, has gotten to actually be the coach who gets retread in all of these circumstances and doesn't have success. So he becomes like Stan Van Gundy, where you got two guys who keep getting chances because in this case, like this is how you get a little closer to the power, Stugatz, because in Atlanta, they kind of have to hire a black coach. And that's where white people will get really mad. What do you mean? Why? Why can't it be on merit? Why can't it just be equality? Your customers, your coaches, your power, your moneymakers, your people, the labor, the bodies who are objecting to the way the Seattle Mariners are run, where the bodies are commodities, are telling you, hey, we got an eye on you in Atlanta. Look at the politics around our arena in Atlanta, segregated Atlanta, where some of the civil rights fights were. We want the right to also be bad several times as a coach, the way Kevin Lockery got in Atlanta. We want Alvin Gentry, who replaced Kevin Lockery, to be Kevin. And he has. He's come close. Alvin Gentry has come close to becoming. Hey, he squandered Anthony Davis, Stugatz. Alvin Gentry got another shot and squandered Anthony Davis. And now Stan Van Gundy gets to squander the team of Anthony Davis. And that's real equality.
Well, yeah. Pierce is getting replaced by who? Nate McMillan, who is now in that retread cycle. I understand what you're saying, and it's something to keep an eye on. Generally, firing a GM in the middle of the season is not going to help you get better. I imagine if they continue to be a disappointment, he'll lose his job. But I think there's much ado about nothing.
Lloyd Pierce got a longer run than Kevin Lockery. How about that?
Well, and Kevin Lockery, anywhere. Let's go through the Kevin Lockery mess. Let's do this with Locke. Let's do this because Kevin Lockery
never thought we'd arrive here, Dan.
Harold.
You're dead. Wow.
Back door.
Go ahead and call fake Kevin Lockery. See if you can.
I have sounded fake Kevin Lockery.
Let's see if we go into the library. So Kevin Lockery was not the original Miami Heat coach. Let me tell this story because this is funny. So the Miami Heat is an organization of loyalists and lifers, and everyone stays forever. And Ron Rothstein went from the original Heat coach to now he's damn near 80, and he's just yelling at the telestrator for the producers to just
stop work, it. Work, roll forward.
Work roll magical
it.
Machine.
Roll it. He's stop great. It. Go
he
back.
Is, he is great. Seriously, he's awesome.
He is. And so Ron Rothstein has been able, as the original Heat coach, he also coached the Miami Soul, like just a lifer in the Heat organization. But right after,
or as Tracy Morgan likes to call it, the Miami Soul.
So we go from Ron Rothstein to Kevin Lockery, and we're going to empty the fake Kevin Lockery file in a second. If Mike's got anything there, we own our library.
Spell Lockery.
Lougherey.
I think it's saved under fake Howard. So let me try that.
All right. So
There's not a K in there?
Fake Kevin Lockery was one of the original Heat coaches. Let's just go through his retread resume, Stugatz, as you tell us the longest place that he's ever been. So just go through the coaching cycle, because Alvin Gentry has become Kevin Lockery, and hallelujah, we've reached real basketball equality when it comes to retreading coaches, because basketball does retread the Nate McMillans and the Alvin Gentry. So Kevin Lockery's resume is... just give us teams and number of years, and I'm setting the over-under. Mike, where would you put the over-under? I'm going to put the over-under on 9 teams for Kevin Lockery.
Wow.
As an NBA head coach. Roy, no, that's too high or too low, Roy?
As a head coach, I don't think he got 9 jobs. As an assistant, probably, but as a head coach, now, nowhere near.
Roy, what are you thinking here?
Well, I'm looking at the stats now, so it's too high.
Okay, let's see what we have here. It's how I remember. Guy who always got jobs again and again.
All right, he started off in Philadelphia. A little cup of coffee. He was 5-26. 31 games and missed the playoffs, was fired. Then was hired 3 years later by the Knicks. Had 1 year there, 22-60.
No, that's wrong. It was the New York Nets at the ABA, and then they moved to New Jersey when they went to the NBA. It wasn't the Knicks.
All right, so it was the Nets. My bad, Roy. The Nets, then to New Jersey. So he had 76-81 in New Jersey. Then he had 2 years in Atlanta, 42-40, 43-39. Then he went to Chicago right after being fired by the Atlanta Hawks the next year, 83-84, 84-85, just missed Michael. He went 27-55, 38-44. Then he went to Washington the very next season after being fired by the Bulls, and he went 7-6. Was that a strike-shortened season? I have no idea. Then they went 42-40, and then 8-19, and he was fired by Washington. And then the Heatles grabbed him 3 years later, and he had a 4-year run with the Heat, in which they never did better than 42-40.
And that was the end of it? That was the last job for Kevin Lockery?
Yep, that was back in 1995. His career record was 474-662. So how many teams was that? Philadelphia, the Nets, that's 2, Hawks, 3, Bulls, 4, Washington, 5, the Heat, 6. He had 6 teams.
No, any of them more than 3 years? It didn't sound like, or I guess the Heat were 4 years, you said. So I don't think it didn't sound like there was more than four years anywhere. Mike has fervently been looking. Mike, I think you're going to have to make a live phone call to the fake Kevin Lockery to see if he still can muster the impersonation from 15 years ago of Harold Miner being beaten on a backdoor cut.
Lock's teams never advanced past the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, to give you an idea of how old this soundbite is that I'm looking for, I think it was saved in the shortcut, not in the J drive. There was an actual sound machine that you would put clips in and you would edit it in there. It's called the shortcut.
So we don't have anything in that. We are not searching.
Lockery, Harold, backdoor. I can't find it. Kevin Lockery.
Do you want? Okay, we're gonna all sit around and we're gonna see. We're gonna call him live and ask if fake Kevin Lockery, who has not been brought out of retirement in many, many years, the payoff is gonna be. Greg, give us all your expertise. Tell the people about Kevin Lockery, your memories of covering Kevin Lockery.
I don't remember much about Kevin Lockery other than the fact that he was an unsuccessful coach, really. I don't remember too much of his personality. I don't think I covered the Heat much at all that far back. When did he coach the Heat? Like late 80s? When was it? Early 90s?
It's before your time, Cody? I didn't think there was a before your time in this market. I didn't think
like the Cretaceous period?
91 to 95.
Yeah.
Harold,
back door. Those were years when I actually covered the Dolphins full time as a beat guy. So I didn't deal much with Kevin.
Harold, back door.
Didn't you only cover the Dolphins one season?
No, I covered them 3 seasons. 90 and 90, no, 91 and 92 and into 93, something like that. I don't remember exactly.
I don't understand, Greg Cody. This was the age where you were growing into a Miami Herald columnist. How do you not remember covering the coach of 4 years of the Miami Heat when they were one of two teams that we had in town, and we did not yet have the Marlins. How do you not remember the Kevin Lockery years?
Well, of course I remember the Kevin Lockery years. I just don't remember dealing with him very much, because that was a time when I was a full-time Dolphins writer. I don't know how else to put it. I didn't go to many Heat games at that time when I was covering the Dolphins. I mean,
he's a great shooting god.
It's a very poor Kevin Lockery.
Dusty Rhodes?
It's a very limited. Well, it's got.
I mean, maybe.
It might be. You know what? He is a violent sneezer.
In Greg's defense, what does anyone remember about Kevin Lockery?
I mean, he's a great shooting god.
Harold, back door.
I just realized who that is.
You did?
Harold, back door.
Was that our only impressionist 10 years ago?
He's a great shooting god.
We didn't have much of a stable. We just had that pathetic accent. And that is the library we took with us from ESPN.
He's a great shooting god.
ESPN does not have the rights to that sound.
Harold, back door.
It's all ours. We left ESPN when Chris Cody was fired, and we took our library with us.
He's a great shooting god.
They didn't fight for this?
ESPN tried to keep that from us, and we're like, we'll take Mickey Mouse. And they're like, absolutely not, so we get to keep this.
Back door.
They convinced you that this is a win for you.
Harold.
I was yelling in the meetings. I'm like, you got to give me fake Kevin Lockery. You don't get to keep him. And then I send one of my lawyers in.
No, we want him, Dan. You can't take that.
Harold.
It's my intellectual property. It's my intellectual property.
Harold.
You don't know what I can make out of it. I'm going to conquer the world with it.
He's a great shooting god.
Hey, it's Mike, and I know you were hoping for an update on those fishtail ponds in my backyard. Well, have I got news for you. I actually got lighting installed, and I can change it with an app. Beautiful fishtail ponds lit up red, depending on my mood. If my hockey team wins, we light those suckers red. Anyways, I like being outside. I like looking at those fishtail ponds. You love hearing about it. But what's in my hand other than my app changing the lighting? A Miller Lite is in my hand. That's right, because I know when a Miller Lite is in my hand, I make a good time, Miller time. I take that first sip, I know immediately I made the right call. Nothing goes with my fishtail ponds quite like a Miller Lite. It makes everything so much better. And I'm going to have some people over. I'm going to toss them that beautiful white can. They're going to say, heck yeah. And they're going to have that first sip and know, just like me, that they made the right call. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.